You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account so you at least make some money when the Avs play in a way that is really, really frustrating. Avs lose 3-2 to the St. Louis Blues, certainly not for lack of opportunity from Colorado, but they just could not convert their chances tonight, and it cost them dearly. That and a couple of very stupid mistakes, for sure, but you can't have four looks at a net without a goaltender in it and not score on any of them.
Yeah.
It's too many of those chances missed.
Well, and the last one was really bad because it was an open net that they didn't even try to shoot into.
Yep.
Yeah, they Erod passed it,
yep.
And it was like, buddy.
So...
like, the first few you're fine with, right? Like, you've got a guy...
I would not say I'm fine with the first few. No.
What are you talking about? No. Hunts?
Yeah.
He's getting stick checked. That's a hard one.
Is he an NHL player? He should be able to put a puck into an empty net.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which one of those is okay that he doesn't score? Because if you pick one, then there's still the fucking other one.
I'll pick the first one and say the second one was something that shouldn't have happened.
Definitely was not Makar. It was a right-handed guy. So
yeah, Makar is right-handed.
Oh, you're right. You're right. But I'm pretty confident it was still Erod. But maybe it was Makar. Doesn't matter,
honestly,
because
it is impossible to tell the two apart.
And the thing
the
is,
jersey tuck is identical. Yeah. They're the same size. It is amazing how hard it is.
And the thing is, even if that was Makar, there was another empty net, which Erod did not shoot the puck into on a power play because he fumbled it.
Yeah.
Like,
it really doesn't matter which guy it was.
Nope.
Yeah, not on this one.
Yeah, I guess I'll do it.
3, 2, 1.
Avs actually played a pretty strong first period other than those failed chances that they didn't convert on, but you like the way they were playing their game. The end of the period 0-0, a little bit frustrating because they had two power play opportunities as well, so you'd have liked them to see them score a goal, but it was a good hockey game. Second period, they break it out, they get the goal, they're able to feel a little bit better about themselves. I mean, Mikko Rantanen is just an unstoppable monster right now. I don't know how else to tell you that one. Dude can't miss. We'll talk more later about that, I'm sure. But after the Avs get their goal later on in the second period, they kind of just collapse to the counter push to the Blues. The Blues come back strong, almost immediately get that goal back on the other end. Just not quality defense. I don't know what else to tell you on that one. The Avs kind of got beat up the ice multiple times. That's the 2-1. I'm way over the timer. I don't care. They take a penalty late in the third. They pay the price for that. They get a bad bounce on the second goal because that's hockey. And three goals was too many to surmount. The Avs played a damn good third period, too. Dominated the period, got good opportunities, got the one back, and I'm sure we'll talk more about the 5-on-3 and everything else, so we'll just end it there. Way too good of a game for the Avs to not convert the opportunities that they had.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird one where I think it's fair to say you deserve to lose, but also that's the best played game that they've had against a team not named Columbus in a while.
Yep.
Like, best wire-to-wire played game.
Yep.
Versus a non-Columbus team in quite a while.
Yep.
So, because I think they played a really good game. They The Blues make two great plays for two of their goals. They get world-class, like, fluky nonsense luck for the Brandon Saad goal. And then the Avs just don't capitalize on chances. Like, that's really what it comes down to. The Avs just didn't capitalize on some glorious chances. You can totally fight about which guy it was. But the fact that we've got four to pick from, right off the top, four of them, where it's like, you had the goalie out of the net, the goalie's beat, he's...
And those are just the ones where it's like, those should be free goals.
Yeah. Like and you're not even gonna... You're not even going to, like, fret over all of them, but it's the fact that there were four.
Yep.
Because it's the NHL, and, like, sometimes you do just miss one.
Yep.
You
miss one.
You just boof a chance.
One. Like,
those things happen.
Everybody gets one.
But as a team, four of them, and then as a man, Dryden Hunt tonight, two of them.
Yep.
One of which, like, you could complain about the fact he's getting hooked or held or whatever. Like, whatever. For me, I'm not here for that shit. But the second one, like, there's no excusing it. Even if we're doing mental gymnastics to erase one of them, you've got three empty nets that you just pass up on.
Yep.
Look, they're... Like, you play a good game, you create four chances with no goaltender, you get there, and then you just don't cash him, man. Like, both two things true. You played a good hockey game, you deserve to lose it.
Yep.
Agreed. It's interesting, too, because this was a hockey game where it was like, oh, yeah, the Avs are winning the possession battle pretty handily, especially as the game went on. It felt like, this is the Avs. It's coming. Even the Avs can't survive that many missed opportunities.
Yeah. I mean.
Okay.
It's really all there is to it, man. I mean, you deserve to lose a hockey game. You lost a hockey game.
Yep.
It's how it went down. It's how it went down for sure. Going through it, I will give the Avs a little bit of credit. They did roll their lines pretty decently, except for the last minutes of the third. Obviously, they pushed their top guys pretty heavily. But, you know, you really didn't have that many bad performances tonight from players outside of Dryden Hunt.
Did you see where Andreas Englund's ice time finished?
I saw it was at 9 minutes after the second.
10:27. One shift over. That was it. It was one shift.
I want to see where Makar ended up because with 10 minutes left,
he was at 22.
29:06.
Wow. So he played
seven of those 10 minutes. Yep.
Maybe he didn't shoot at the end because he was tired. Like, oh, I'm just going to.
I can't do it.
Take this.
An interesting question in chat saying, what did you think of Ranta? Led the team in Corsi once again. I thought he looked good, especially while laying the body. He looked better in the offensive zone tonight. Still looks completely lost in the defensive zone to me. The Corsi numbers are nice, but they're also a bit of a mirage when you're a fourth liner playing minimal minutes in sheltered time.
Yeah.
So it's hard to take those Corsi numbers super seriously, but... Yeah, he's doing okay with what he's being given.
When those numbers are bad, we don't crush a guy for being at 32% because you're like one shift can determine that.
Yeah.
When they're good, it's hard to be like we're already arguing for him to get more ice time.
Right.
Like, nothing about it changes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I agree. Like, in the offensive zone, he looks dangerous. He's going to the net.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's a big body. He should be doing that. He had a good hit in the defensive zone, but he does look lost when he gets back there. It's... The game moves fast, and he just gets a little bit lost with coverage. But he's learning.
To be honest with you, I don't even know why we're talking about Sampo Ranta in a game like this. No offense. Like, that's not to bag on him in any way.
The real conversation you're tying in here is, like, Sampo did get a good chance or two in this game that he didn't finish.
Yeah.
In a normal game, you'd be like, wow, you'd love to see Sampo finish that. But on tonight, his chance was, like, 12th on the list of ones you'd like the Avs to finish.
Yeah.
So... it just wasn't all that big of a deal.
Was EJ great or did he just shoot a lot?
Yeah, he was fine. He was
jumping into the play quite a bit tonight.
I think he felt the urgency in the third period, but almost nothing dangerous came from that. And him shooting from 25 feet away just isn't...
It's not that dangerous.
An unscreened shot from a foot inside the blue line over and over and over and over is like... I don't hate this. Like, I'm not mad about it, but I'm also not like, wow, look at EJ go.
You watched him miss a couple of keeps at the blue line at times, too, because he's just half a step off.
It was just...
I do think he played a solid game.
Yeah, nothing like that, yeah.
But no one played solid enough for the Avs to win the hockey game.
Well, and this is just capitalization, man. You know, it's you get out, you have I think the first period is pretty indicative of the whole game. Like, the Avs played well.
Yeah.
They had chances. They just don't cash in on anything. Yeah. They don't bury anything. You know, Dryden Hunt's first scoring chance on the forehand. And, yeah, a guy's stick-checking him. But give me a break, dude.
I don't know.
If he was getting stick checked that badly, would he have still been able to?
No, you would like him to make it, right?
He puts it through the crease to the other side.
It's because he tries to pull around
and
go wide a little bit more. And that's where the mistake was.
I would cut his angle off. Bet my mortgage. If you go talk to Dryden Hunt, he'd be like, yeah, I got to finish those.
Yeah.
He knows it. Everybody knows it.
Even if the defensive player had made a truly outstanding play, he'd be like, I've got to find a way. But. He had it. It's literally on his stick.
Yep.
The goalie is literally vacant.
The dude could have poked it one-handed into the net.
He has vacated the net. The goalie is gone. You just have to score there, man. You just have to score there.
Yep.
I really don't know how. I'm not here for, this happened and that happened. You're in the NHL, man.
Yep.
You're a foot from the goal line.
I'd say you're a foot from the crease. It was a little
from where
than
he
that.
Shoots it.
Yeah, he's outside the crease.
He pulled it outside.
It's not puck, far, but
you are right though. The puck lands a foot away from there, and that's when
and
he
it's,
drags
well,
it
and
around.
Well, and it's on his forehand.
He should have just shot it.
Well,
yeah,
I know. You know that guys in the NHL. There's a lot of forwards in the NHL that have no backhand.
Yep.
And we saw that tonight. Because the other chance that Dryden Hunt gets is on his backhand. He tries.
Flubs it.
And puts it back into Binnington's. Binnington is giving him all the benefit there of the doubt because he comes all the way back across and it almost goes in because it almost overslides it. Where you're like, it was almost so bad it worked.
Yeah.
That's just a tough one. Dryden Hunt probably not going to get much sleep tonight. He's just going to be they lose the game and he's sitting there going, oh my God. And the top line. Look, as much as I want to be like Kale McCarr, that one-timer that hits Binnington in the nuts at the end.
Yeah.
That has to go in. That's a wide-open net. Yep. And he shoots it into his body.
The entire half of the net is just a goal.
He shoots
it's
it back into his body. Yeah. And that sucks, too. But it's really just all of these. All of them. They're all just missed chances.
Yeah, the McKinnon chance that just catches Binnington in the shoulder.
And that's one where I'm happy given that Binnington gets a piece of that. It's on the shooter to beat the goalie, and he didn't do it. Binnington played well.
Well,
he played a really good game tonight.
Yeah, fills my mouth with acid, battery acid, to admit that Jordan Binnington deserved to win tonight, but he did.
I mean, he did have a lot of those. We talked about the empty nets are just that's on the Avs. But the ones where he was in front, squared up,
that's
he made those stops.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt about it. He played well.
I think he finished
He also could have had six goals dropped on his head playing well.
And it wouldn't be the first time that we've seen a goaltender play well and the Avs just body them.
Yeah. But the Avs just didn't convert. That's really all it came down to. I we'll get back to the negative stuff. I do want to move into some of the positive stuff. Look, the Avs got a lead in this hockey game. Once again, they scored the first goal of this game.
The second period had really ground into this
Nobody really knew what this game was going to be. It wasn't super fast paced.
It wasn't a large trading of chances. It was really just neither team had sustained push.
Yeah.
And they would get an opportunity and they would have the puck. But not a lot would come of it, and then the other team would kind of...
It just wasn't... After both of Dryden Hunt's adventures, the Avs kind of fell into this feeling of, oh, okay, you're just waiting for the top line to get back out there. It felt like a lot of passivity from the Avs' depth tonight. And you know, part of that is they're playing St. Louis, who's got better depth when the Avs are this beat up. But the Avs' depth just wasn't accomplishing very much.
Yeah, and, like, I don't even think that, from a process standpoint, I don't think that Colorado's depth had a bad night.
No, I don't think they did either. They just weren't.
When your top line does give you two goals.
Yep.
And you lose in a 3-2 game.
Yep.
And it's like, you have five power plays. Like, we're talking about the Fed. Dryden Hunt misses two open nets and Evan Rodriguez with another one.
Yep.
That's your bottom nine production.
Yep.
Is right there. Like, that's where it had to come from.
One of those.
Yeah. Straight up. Like, one chance there.
Yep.
One of those goes in, and we're not talking about this like this.
Yep.
You know? And it just, like, I've said a bunch of times, like, so many of these games come down to, oh, well, how do your best players do, and this and that. But your best players gave you both of your goals and created a bushel of scoring chances throughout the game. They don't finish them, but they get two goals for you, though.
Yep.
And so it's really hard to be like, what more?
How much more can they
what
do?
What more are you asking from them? Each of these guys have given you 3 and 4 point games in the last, and that's how you
for
got
the
your
last
winning streak.
Five straight. Yeah.
Your winning streak was built predominantly on your top line giving you superhuman performances. And tonight they were just great instead of elite. And that's not enough. Like, if I'm Nathan MacKinnon, I'm smashing everybody's sticks in the locker room.
There's a reason there's 18 dudes skating around.
Like, I'm so frustrated looking around. Like, just get me one.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yep.
And then we'll get into overtime and I can lose it for us. But just one. Just one. Like, because each of those, each team makes great plays for both of the goals. And then the difference is a nonsense.
A stick,
It's a total nonsense goal that you just have to overcome that.
Yep.
Can't even be mad at Georgiev for that because of the way that puck
I think he could have played it better.
Off the stick.
I think he could have.
It goes off the stick and lands on the back of his skate and trickles
it.
In.
I get it.
What the fuck are you talking about?
His blade is on the
I know.
The puck bounces over it, lands on the back of his skate, and just dribbles in.
It's not, like,
and that's after the first goal. Robert Thomas doesn't score that initially.
Yeah, it goes off the
post. It goes off the post down and hits the back of his foot.
And everybody just stopped.
He had given up on it because he thought it was in, and the official signaled that it was in.
Even though it wasn't.
Incorrectly, but it goes off, my gosh.
Yep. It's tough.
If this guy having a stroke in chat continues, can you give that guy a timeout?
Yeah, I don't know what.
So
it might be someone trying to English.
Yeah, I'm just not sure.
He's struggling bad. Struggling bad. The result was not 4-2, if that's what you're asking. It was a 3-2 final.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's a weird game to try and break down and analyze because, again, I think that they played a good hockey game and They got the outcome. I mean, you get a 5-on-3 at the end of the game, and you don't cash.
6-on-3.
Yeah. Well, do we want to get into this yet, or
no? Save it. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get it at your local liquor store. Games like this one, I can see how they would make you want to drink for sure. use BreckBrew.com to find it. You can also find a bunch of amazing Breck Brew merch on there. Also, be sure to use Game Time if you want to get tickets to the Avs or any other sporting event, whether it's here in Colorado or around the country. Game Time has prices up to 60% off of other locations. You can use that link in the description. You can see on screen right there. It'll take you to Game Time. That helps us out when you use the link. Lets them know we're sending you over there. So please do that. You can get views of the seats. You can get great prices, especially if you wait until day of and do the I don't want to say the scalper thing because...
Why?
Because scalpers have a bad connotation for some reason that I don't really understand.
Well, listen to the name, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's violent.
And I understand it being a bad thing when scalpers buy tickets and then pay double the price.
Yeah.
Like, that sucks. But for most of my life for the Avs, scalpers were like, you go down and get tickets for like half the price. So it was actually a good deal to do it that way. Anyway, go use Game Time.
Yeah, it's sweet.
More importantly than all of that, though, Thursday night. This is your last chance. If you're a DNVR member, this is your last chance to get the $20 ticket to Thursday night to come see Adam Foote, Milan Hayduk, John Mitchell, a bunch of ex-Avs players, even some NHLers that aren't from the Avs are coming down. They're hanging out. You can hang out with them. They're going to watch the game with us. It's going to be an awesome time. You can go find the tickets on thednvr.com. You got to get the ticket if you want to come in. I'm telling you now, the price is going to go up tomorrow.
You're going to have to stop that.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Price is going up tomorrow, so get the tickets now. You got to get in on it if you're a member. You got to come say hi to these dudes. Lacroix Hockey putting the event on. There you go. Nighthawk's going to be there. So
probably in a Colton Pareko jersey, making it awkward for everybody.
Killing us. Go check it out.
I don't know. Is that the jersey she wears? I don't actually know.
I don't know what her Blues jersey is either, to be honest.
I said that and immediately went into doubt.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's an awesome event. Lacroix Hockey's awesome. Part of the rapidly growing hockey community beyond just the NHL level here in Colorado. So,
oh, fuck yeah. Take that, brain tumor.
Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Hold off on the 5-on-3 a little bit. We'll get there in a second.
Joy. So much fun to talk about that.
What happened on the third goal the Avs gave up? Obviously, you take the stupid penalty at the end of the second
period. Is it a stupid penalty? Or is it a stupid penalty call?
I mean, both.
It was the interference, right?
Yeah. So I could see how you could get to interference on Compher. I don't know why they took Rantanen instead of Compher.
Yeah.
I could see how you could get there with Compher. I'm not saying it's a great call, but I could see it.
I have a really, really, really hard time with that call specifically because they encourage and want like rugby-style scrums right off of face-offs.
Yeah.
Where they let tons of crazy shit go all game long, and then you arbitrarily, and you're right, call the wrong guy. Like, I have a really, really hard time with that call because you never see it unless it is like, it's got to be like world class blatant. This is really bad. We absolutely have to call this. And I struggle with the call itself, but no excuse for you to come out and Devon Taves to just
completely misplay
completely it. Misread that. He never accounts. If you watch, you go back and you watch, he never accounts for Jordan Kyrou.
Yep.
I mean, Kyrou was flying down. Yeah,
but he in no way adjusts to it. He's not prepared for it. He opens up the door for Jordan Kyrou to blow his doors off. And that's exactly what Kyrou did.
So, for what it's worth, what I think Taves was seeing on that play is he saw LOC, who's drifting to the outside. And in his brain, something with Taves just went, okay, LOC's taking that guy. And obviously, that doesn't make a ton of sense.
He even takes a step towards the inside. Yeah,
right. Like, he's switching almost with LOC.
Yeah. And, like, never accounts for him. Not one time, not one thing that Taves did accounted for Jordan Kyrou's speed.
Yep.
And it was like, you just can't do that. Like, that's as bad a misplay, as bad a misread as you will ever see Devon Taves make.
Did he see him at all, though?
I mean...
Because, like, his stick is even to the inside.
It's even worse if he just doesn't know that guy is there. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not good.
So it's either really bad or it's truly atrocious. Because if he doesn't see him, what? But if he does see him and doesn't account for him, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't anything. There's no sugarcoating that. There's no positive spin to that. There's no. They made a nice play. And Devon Taves completely fell asleep on that. And you're talking, you're getting by here with Andreas Englund and, you know, Jacob McDonald and all this stuff, right? Like you're
and your De- best Devon, defensive defenseman.
It's Devon Taves that you're looking at, and you're like, bruh, what the hell, man? Well,
and that's the other side of it, right?
Those are the two best scoring chances that they get all game long. Their two best scoring chances are the breakaway and that.
Yep.
And Georgiev, of course, makes some other quality chances look not so quality by just stopping the puck.
Yep.
But those were easily their two best chances, and that was it. And they cash on both. And it's like, look, this is a team that has had a really hard time scoring goals. And when you kick open the door like that, I have not gone back and watched the replay to really break down all aspects of it. Mac needs to pick that guy up faster. Please, for the love of all that is holy, stop tweeting at me that he's a two-way player. He's not. He still is not to that level yet. He's still not as good defensively as you would like him to be. He may never be, and that's I'm not saying...
I don't think he will ever
saying, oh, what a travesty or anything. I'm just saying it is a thing that has been sent to me a lot this week. I don't know why, but I keep seeing it. It's not true. And that was a great example of it.
Yeah, he got... All of it was bad. All of it was bad on two major opportunities. And the world you live in, if you're not going to convert the chances that you have on the other end, you can't give those up. That's how you lose hockey games. You have to limit every opportunity for the other team. For every chance you miss, you can't give up a chance.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you can hate the idea that the Avs are decimated by injuries right now, but it's true.
It's just reality.
You're talking about four or five guys are playing in their lineup right now that would be in the AHL otherwise. If you don't think that that's meaningful, I don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
But it is. Because on any given night, you're talking about second-line players you want to produce just a shade over a half point per game pace across the year.
Yep.
That means they only give you a point every other game. Your top players, they're elite. They're giving you between 1 to 2 points per game.
Yep.
Okay? And so that's how you're getting... they got two tonight out of their top line.
Yep.
All they needed was that half point, that one goal.
If the entire rest of the lineup could add up to one.
From lines 2 through 4,
yep.
Pairings 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. That's it. That was all they needed. They needed one goal from, hold on, I'm doing the math here. That's 9 forwards.
Four players.
And 4 defensemen. You're talking about 13 other guys. And when 5 of those guys may not otherwise be in the NHL.
Yep.
You can't tell me that that's not meaningful. And look, like it does matter. It just does.
Yep.
If it was all Darren Helm and Andrew Cogliano and Logan O'Connor, if it was lower lineup guys, it would be different.
I don't know. Like,
it would be different because you're not asking those guys. We're not asking JT Compher and Andrew Cogliano to score that often.
I'm going to make an unfair comparison here, and I know that. I just want to make this clear.
Okay.
But you put Darren Helm in Dryden Hunt's boots on that first attempt.
Maybe it goes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it goes in. But what I'm saying, though, is that you're talking 2 top 6 guys. Those are guys that you are asking to score. Not every night, but every other night for certain, you want to see a Nichushkin or a Landeskog on the score sheet.
A bad team is built with high-end talent at the top and then nothing else below it, right? Like, we've seen that before. You've seen teams like this. The teams that go far in the playoffs are teams that are deep, teams that get scoring not just from their top line, but from the second, third line, fourth lines out there. They get a point every 10 games, you're happy, right?
Well, and like you got a 2-goal game out of Logan O'Connor recently, you know, and Logan O'Connor gave you like 3 or 4 goals in a week span where you're like, look, if that line could consistently do that, those guys would not all be fourth line players making $1 million right now.
Yep.
They just wouldn't be. Yep. And instead, like, that's who those guys are. The fact that they're playing the third line tells you how bad it is. And no, it doesn't excuse the 6-on-3. Those are different conversations, though.
Yeah.
Those, your best players 100% let you down at the end.
Yeah, and they
have to cash that.
We're about to get
we
to
just
that.
Haven't Don't gotten worry. There yet. Yeah.
Well, and injuries happen to every team.
To everybody.
No excuses. Again, it's November right now. Like, it's a good time to be injured.
You, of course, would say you'd prefer this in November than March. It doesn't actually work that way.
No.
You can't pick when it happens.
Well, you never know. It could just be injuries all through the year.
Right. Yep. I mean, look at Vegas last year where it started and it just never stopped.
Yep.
Yep.
It happens every year to a couple of teams where
a team
where
just never gets it back together.
They never get to get on track because the injuries are just part of that process. Yep. You can only be so deep. There's a salary cap. There are guys in the AHL. Like, if you had such good AHL players, they would get claimed on
there's
waivers.
Only so much high-end talent around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And right now, there's a lot of it hurt on the Avs.
Well, and, like, right now, your serious ace in the hole is that you're, like, Alex Galchenyuk is healthy.
Yep.
He is playing. He's going to be playing for the Eagles. If he gives them a good week.
It's coming up.
You're swapping Alex Galchenyuk out for one of these other guys. You're giving him an NHL deal. Swapping him out and saying, let's ride, baby. Let's see how this goes.
I mean, they're this close to just swapping him out for Martin Kaut. Thankfully, Kaut ended up being okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It didn't look good. It looked like his knee got blown out.
It looked like that's one of those injuries that, like, when you see it live, you're like, did his ACL just explode? Like,
well, when he gets slashed right on the back of the leg where there's no padding, there's no anything. You can see how much pain that he's in. I don't know how that's not a penalty. But
it was.
But. I'm really not gonna ride the refs anymore.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was a very well officiated game.
It wasn't, but that's par for the course.
They give you a 5-on-3 in the final 2 minutes. Well, it's real hard to complain.
Yeah, like right. Like
even if one of those is an automatic call,
and the
delay of game isn't one they can hide from.
And that's where this one really stings. I think without the end of this game, you go, wow, the Avs missed a lot of chances. That sucks. But this was a good game.
Yeah.
You get an absolute gift of a penalty.
The silliness.
Where the Blue, who was it, Falk?
Yeah.
Just Falk. Totally panicked because Josh Manson was coming down
on him.
We were even laughing on the watch along. We were like, here goes Josh Manson. And then Justin Falk's like, no, not Josh Manson. What the hell?
So you get that gift of a penalty, and then a bounce goes against the Blues.
Yeah.
Where a batted puck just goes straight out on him.
I hate and
it's a terrible call. It's a terrible rule.
Great example terrible of why rule. That should not be delay of game or why that should not be a penalty. Because that is in no way intentional.
Yep.
He is accidentally he is reacting and he flips it up and out and it gives them a 5-on-3, like opens up the door for them to lose
You're
that
not
game.
Saying and it's, get rid of the like once you clear the boards. It's not a delay of game, even if you're like on the ice and intentionally do it.
Yeah, he's saying that it should be like icing.
Yeah, I've always said treat it like icing.
Oh yeah,
I have always said this.
I mean, people will just take it to the extreme. It'll just be like,
do it,
just over and over again.
We've been over this argument before. It's just not true.
We're starting again.
No, it's not true because we went back and watched the '90s, the '96 Cup run during the pandemic. I counted that shit. I kept it in mind the entire time, number of times it intentionally happened in the last, between the start of the Western Conference Final and the end of the Stanley Cup Final, and it happened less than 10 times, intentionally.
That was the 90s.
Yeah, when that shit happened all the time.
They weren't skilled enough to put it over there.
I'm saying it should be treated as icing, whatever. I know that. There's always somebody who's like, oh, it's a safety issue with the fans.
But
it's not a safety issue. I'm just more of like, turns it into a sluggish game if it happens.
Icing never does that.
In practice, that was it, though. That was the bounce that the Avs were going to get in this game, right?
Yep.
And they needed to convert, and they didn't. I did skip over very quickly. Very nice shot from Arturi Lehkonen. Finally put one properly quality into the net.
Yep.
Really, really low-key, great drive to the front of the net to flash in front of Binnington's eyes like that.
Yep.
Don't know how much it impacted it, but it didn't make his job any easier.
For sure.
And as we saw with Eric Johnson, he was clearly seeing the puck from the outside over and over and over. And Makar flashing in front of him, perfectly timed screen, moving screen like that, might have done just enough to quell that reaction.
Just caught his eye. Yeah.
Yep. And so that's...
It was a laser,
it's a great shot, and Makar already does get an assist on it, but it is a really nice play by him going to that front. Unless it's Rodriguez, because I can't tell the difference.
That one was Makar.
Pretty sure it was Makar, but I don't know. Those two, the problem that I have had this year, it used to be the problem that I had between Rantanen and Burakovsky.
Oh.
where I would get the 9-5 and 9-6.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my, and it was obviously worse when they had Kadri because their whole fucking team had 90s numbers. And I'm just like,
well, I,
God damn it.
I was telling you in the watch along that one shift where Erod's Dipsley doodling in his own zone. And I'm like, you can't do that. This, how will I ever tell you apart from Kale McCarr?
The one where he draws the tripping, where you're like, he looked just like Kit. What do you want from me? Like, I don't even feel bad about this anymore. Look at this shit. It's ridiculous trying to tell them apart.